Well, we're glad to be joined by former Notre Dame and current Baltimore Oriole first baseman Trey Mancini. He's on the south side with the Orioles playing the White Sox this week. Trey, I was looking back at your Notre Dame stats. You hit 21 home runs in two seasons at Notre Dame, but you're already off to a great start, 10 home runs already this season. How would you kind of describe the start that you're having to what's your rookie year?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to keep the same approach that I had in the minors and not change too much. We have a player on the team, Caleb Joseph. He's one of our catchers, and he, at the beginning of the season, he told me, you know, you got here for a reason, and don't change anything just because, you know, you're in the majors and you're on another level. Like, what got you here will help you stay successful. And for me, that's usually just thinking about, you know, hitting the ball to right center and seeing the ball well and not trying to do too much. So that's pretty much been my main objective offensively.
You talk about approach, and I know a lot of times guy coming out of college, he's got either an approach or a swing. He's done things a certain way, and a lot of times he gets to the pro level, and then they want to start making tweaks and stuff like that. I know it happened with Chris Davis back when he was with Texas before he got to Baltimore. Organizationally, did they want you to do anything different as you were moving up through the ranks?
So I actually did kind of have a little bit of a – it was more of a stance change than my swing, I'd say.
Okay.
But in 2015 in spring training, Brady Anderson, he's our vice president of baseball operations, he saw one at-bat of mine. I got called up from minor league camp to fill in like a major league spring training game.
Okay.
And he saw one at-bat and called me over the next day and he said, you know, we're going to switch some things up. He pretty much, like – Saw my at bat, knew how it was going to go. He thought I would foul a couple pitches back and then end up striking out. That's exactly what happened. And I so pretty much I used to be low and crouched in my stance. If you look back at my tape from Notre Dame or anything, you'd be able to tell a difference. And now I stand straight up and kind of more relaxed looking, I'd say. But the main objective of that is to, you know, transfer my weight on my lower half. I load back on my back leg and then, you know, kind of move, transfer the weight forward as the pitcher's like winding up. And then I'm hitting, that kind of leads me to hitting the ball out in front a little more. And I get more extension on my swing and the ball's been carrying a little better because of that.
It kind of looks that way. When you've got a guy like Brady Anderson giving you that advice, obviously he dropped a few bombs in his day when he was playing for the Orioles.
Yeah, you definitely take the advice if he's going to give it to you.
What kind of expectations did you have coming out of spring training? I know you had a good spring training, but what were you thinking things were going to look like for you once you got to the season?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't totally sure. We have such a great roster, and there are so many really great players on this team. I just didn't know if there would be a spot for me. So that's why in spring training I started working out in the outfield and they threw me out there in some games and I did pretty well. And I knew if I kept hitting well, that I'd maybe have a shot to make the team at least out of spring for the first couple weeks of the season. And luckily it just, I haven't like looked too far into the future or anything. I just kind of took it day by day and I look up at the end of the day and I'm still here. So every day you're here, you're thankful for it.
I mean, you're not just here. You've obviously done pretty well, and you had a pretty exciting week last week. So let's go back to that real quick. And we're talking with Trey Mancini, formerly of Notre Dame and now with the Baltimore Orioles playing the White Sox this week. So you're facing the Pirates at home. You're down by two in the ninth inning, a runner on, two out. And you're pinch hitting, of course, as well. So with all that situation, you're coming off the bench. What are you thinking as you step into the batter's box?
I mean, all I'm thinking about is keep this game going in whatever way. Try not to do too much. And then the first pitch he threw me was a slider, like low and in, and I swung at it. It almost hit me, and I took a huge swing at it. And then after that, I stepped out, took a deep breath, and made myself calm down. And after that, I had a good rest of the at-bat, fouled a couple good pitches off. And then luckily, I was assuming he was going to throw a changeup, and he did, and he left it up and put a good swing on it.
The situation that I mentioned is tough enough, but when you're coming off the bench as a pinch hitter, it mentally, it doesn't look like it was too tough based on your result, but is it tough coming in a situation like that off the bench cold?
It's something that you kind of get used to the more you play, and the more that, especially like if you start the game on the bench, you need to go through it a few times to really know how to mentally get ready as a pinch hitter. And spring training helps out a lot with that. Whenever you don't start in those games, you come in like the seventh inning or so, and you just treat it like you're pinch hitting during the season. So doing that in the spring and like kind of committing to that mentally really helps during the season. And I don't know, it's a different focus almost when you're pinch hitting, and something that I've really come to like, actually. And it used to not be one of my strong suits, but it's definitely something that I embraced and enjoy doing now if I'm ever in that situation.
And then, of course, that same game we were just talking about, later in the 11th inning, after you hit the tying home run in the ninth, you hit the game-winning walk-off home run. You got a couple men on, and again, two outs in the 11th inning. Do you remember anything that was going through your head as you were rounding the bases?
A little bit. I was pretty excited. It was a very special moment, personally, one of the cooler baseball moments I've had. And especially because as a team, we had been, you know, scuffling a little bit, and you know, to have a comeback victory like that was awesome. And everybody did their part to keep the game going there. And, you know, just to help win the game was incredible. But, yeah, that was certainly – that will always hold a special place as far as, like, top moments, I think, personally. It was really cool.
Trey Mancini, formerly of Notre Dame baseball and currently with the Baltimore Orioles. I wanted to go back for a second because you're kind of talking about your approach, and you're just – talking about keeping it in the middle of the field and really keeping your approach fairly simple. Is that really where it starts out? I mean, I've heard a lot of coaches, college coaches, and others just talk about RBIs come the opposite direction. If you're just thinking about the middle of the field and narrowing your focus as much as possible, obviously bigger things can happen after that.
Right, and most of the time, home runs are kind of be thrown to you. Like a pitcher will make a mistake, and you just put a good swing on it, and it happens to go out. It's just the result of a good, you know, plan and being ready on time. A lot goes into it, but if you just think kind of smaller and think hitting it up to the middle of the field, the home runs will come. They're not really forced. At least for me, every home run that I hit, I'm not thinking about it at all. I'm just trying to put a good swing on it, and hopefully it ends up in a good spot. So that's something that I always try to remind myself, is to just stay in the middle of the field.
Now, the situation you're in, you keep having all these great at-bats, and we keep seeing you on all these highlights, but you're not a full-time guy yet because you've got guys like Chris Davis and Mark Trumbo also at your position, a couple of pretty proven guys. How have you been able to sort of handle that so far?
I mean, I knew coming into the season that would kind of be my role. And, it doesn't really make too much of a difference to me if I'm playing every day or every couple days. When I was at Notre Dame, we'd play three, maximum four times a week. So, So I'm used to not playing every day in that regard. And it's pretty similar, I'd say, to that. And growing up, you don't play every day either. It hasn't been too tough of an adjustment there. And, playing different positions is definitely something I embrace too. It's been really fun playing, you know, left, right, or first base, or DH sometimes. It's been really cool.
You mentioned Caleb Joseph earlier. Is there a veteran that you'll talk hitting with, talk approach, any of that kind of stuff more so when you're in the dugout?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everybody I will go up and talk to. It's just a fantastic group of people, but if one sticks out, I'd say Mark Trumbo. I really talk to a lot about, you know, different pitchers or approach, or he'll give me tips on certain guys that he's faced. So I'd say he's one that really sticks out as somebody that I talk to almost every day about, you know, hitting.
Trey, do you remember the first time you met Buck Showalter?
I'm trying to remember if I think I did. I got called up to it was after my short season years in spring training 2014. I got called up to a major league game and I met him there. So yeah, I don't remember like too much about it. It was during a game, so everybody was focused, but he, you know, came up and talked to me a little bit, asked me about Notre Dame, and yeah, he's an awesome guy.
How would you describe him? I mean, he comes across as pretty old school, fairly no nonsense. How would you describe both his personality and the way he interacts with guys on the team and such?
he's definitely a player's manager. He will always have his players' backs, and you know, I think that's one of the most important qualities to have. And he's just a great guy to play for. He's really funny. I don't know if I've been around anybody with the baseball knowledge that he has. You know, he thinks of situations during games that could happen and that nobody would think of. It's impressive. He's got a one of a kind baseball mind for sure.
Have you met Cal Ripken yet?
Very briefly in the wild card game last year in Toronto before the game. I think he was broadcasting for TBS. So I shook his hand and said hello, but that was pretty much the extent of it.
Okay, all right. Analytics, Trey, they're such a big part of baseball right now. How much do they play with you guys there in Baltimore? Do you guys talk about that kind of stuff?
Not a ton. Maybe some people more than others, but, yeah, I haven't really gotten into the whole – I mean, obviously analytics are very useful and they're proven. I mean, they're facts. But I don't really like think about that when I'm playing. Baseball is hard enough. So to have, you know, numbers and stats rolling through my head during a game probably wouldn't be too ideal. So I just, I just think about, you know, seeing the ball and hitting it pretty much. But I know that, you know, I'm not against the analytics or anything at all because,
no.
Yeah, they're fact and they're a lot of them are very useful. But I don't really get too much into it, I'd say.
All right. We're going to let you get going. But first, I wanted to throw a few things at you. Some word association. I'm going to throw some teammates, players, things at you. You just tell me what comes to mind, okay?
Okay.
Let's start with a teammate of yours right now, Chris Davis.
Forearms. He's got some of the biggest forearms I've ever seen.
Adam Jones.
Oh, man, bubblegum comes to mind. He's always chewing gum, but he's one of the best guys I've ever played with. He's especially learning outfield, you know, having him in center field's so nice. I mean, he'll help position me, and he's really helped with my transition out there.
Your college coach, Mick Aoki.
Friend. I mean, I still talk to him a lot. He came to a game this year, and I talked to him for a while after the game. He's somebody that I still talk to a lot.
A brief college teammate of yours, Pat Connaughton.
Super athlete. I mean, if you have a chance to play professional basketball and baseball, it's, you know, you got a special sort of athleticism there.
There's all this talk in the last couple of weeks that Dan Duquette's talking to Pat's ear off about trying to get him back in an Orioles uniform. You think that might ever happen sometime soon?
Oh, I think it could happen. I don't know when. I don't have any too much insider information
sure.
there. But you know, basketball has been going well for him, and you know, I could see him going either way with it. And I think he will come back to baseball at some point someday.
Okay.
I just don't know when that will be.
Okay, just a couple more here for you, Manny Machado.
Superstar. I mean, he's one of the best in the business, and seeing him play third base is just, it's ridiculous. Some of the plays he makes, it's incredible.
Notre Dame.
My favorite place. I go back, I make sure I go back for a football game every year, and I love Notre Dame and South Bend so much. So I'm going to definitely try to come to at least one game this year, maybe two.
All right. Sounds good. Well, if you do, be sure and look us up. We'll be out there at the stadium broadcasting live. Hey, Trey Mancini, absolutely great having you on. Great start to the season, and best of luck to you the rest of the way this year.
All right. Appreciate it, Sean. Thanks.